Bless you, everybody. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk, now that's not an easy book to find. So the easiest way to find it is go to the end of the Old Testament to Malachi, the Italian prophet, and flip back, start flipping backwards a few pages. You'll run into Habakkuk going the other way. Habakkuk chapter 2. We're calling this Vision Sunday, and I'm excited to share with you this morning. Want to welcome our friends, Mr. and Mrs. Antonio Sandolo, this morning. They got married last Sunday. Bless you, Antonio. Michelle, would you just stand up and let's just, aren't they a beautiful couple? Bless you. Congratulations. Habakkuk chapter 2, going to read from verse 2. And let's share some. I want to say that this sermon this morning is not a barn burner. It's not a get up out of your seat. It's vision that the Lord has given us. And how many of you know sometimes we need a word of direction from the Lord? And I have a word of direction for our church. And so let's look. Habakkuk chapter 2, and reading in verse 2. It says, write down the vision and make it crystal clear. In the translation I'm using, write down the vision, make it crystal clear so that people may receive it and run with it. The vision is for an appointed time. It speaks of the end result, and it will not prove false. Beloved, I want to tell you that one word from heaven changes everything. A man was walking along the beach in Southern California one day, and he was deep in prayer. As he was walking along praying, he complained to the Lord. He said, Lord, why don't you ever answer any of my prayers? Couldn't you at least grant me one request? Suddenly, a bright light shone from heaven. The ocean waves stood still, and time seemed to freeze. A deep voice from heaven spoke and said, all right, my son, ask me for anything you wish, and I'll do it. The man was astonished. He wasn't expecting God to answer him like that on the spot. He thought for a moment, and he said, okay, Lord, I would really like a bridge from L.A. to Hawaii. That way I could just drive over there anytime I wanted. The Lord replied to him, your request is very superficial and materialistic. That's 2,500 miles across the Pacific Ocean. Think about the engineering involved. Think about the materials it would require and the environmental impact. I can do it, of course, but it's hard for me to honor a request of such worldly magnitude. Take a moment, son, and think if there's something else more meaningful that I could do for you. The man thought long and hard. Finally, he sighed, and he said, Lord, I'd really like to be able to understand my wife. I want to know what she feels inside, what she's thinking, why she cries. What does she really mean when she says, fine, or nothing's wrong? And how can I truly make her happy? How about that, Lord? A long silence followed. The man said, Lord, are you still there? The Lord replied, and how many lanes would you like on that bridge? For the first half of 2019, I waited on the Lord for an answer to prayer. In January of this year, I started asking God for a fresh word for this new season at HTC in our new sanctuary. I have to tell you the truth, I was absolutely desperate to hear from Him. I want to tell you that one word from heaven changes everything. If you're at a crossroads in your life and you need to know which way to go, one word from heaven can change everything. If you're in a hard place, if you're not sure that you're going to make it through, one word from heaven can change everything. Maybe like the little word through that we heard about last week. When I became the lead pastor at Harvest Time in 1999, I was 32, I was inexperienced, I was scared. But the Lord gave me a promise from Joshua chapter 1. Be strong and courageous. You will lead these people into their inheritance. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life, just as I was with Moses. That was Pastor Tate, our founding pastor. So I will also be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. So be strong and very courageous. Beloved, I want to tell you that that one word from heaven carried us through the next 20 years. It carried us through the acquisition of this property. It carried us through the construction of our first building. It carried us through the very difficult first year in phase one when our expenses went from $3,300 a month in rent at the Civic Center to $33,000 a month in mortgage. Carried us through the construction of this facility. Carried us through 2014 when our zoning approvals were set to expire and we had to start building, but we had absolutely no money. Over those 20 years, there were a million plus reasons to be afraid, and there were many times that we were afraid, but I knew in my heart that we would make it because I had a word of promise from heaven that I knew would not fail. After we completed phase one, I began praying for a strategy to make disciples and fill up the house. How many of you know Jesus said the Father wants the house full? In February 2005, the Lord answered my prayer with another word of promise from 2 Peter chapter 1. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Therefore, make every effort to add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly love, affection. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, you will be effective and productive for the Lord. From that scripture, the Lord gave us a discipleship ladder that we used for the next 10 years. I guess it worked because we grew from 2 services to 3 services to 4 services. We grew from 250 people in weekend attendance to 1,200 people in weekend attendance. We added a Spanish congregation and a Stanford campus. One word from heaven is enough to bring you the guidance that you need. One word from heaven brings you the faith that you need to move mountains, to utterly rout your enemy, to clear hurdles and see miracles. Every membership class I teach here at Harvest Time, I say the same thing. If you want to know, you might not want to know this, but if you want to know how I lead this church, I sit in my chair and I stare out the window and I don't know what to do until I hear from the Lord. And when I hear from Him, I not only receive the direction I need, but the faith I need to do it. In January, I began praying earnestly, Lord, I need a fresh word from heaven. There's nothing wrong with the words from 1999 and 2005, but they've run their course. They've accomplished the purpose for which God sent them. And that's why coming into this new year, I was desperate, desperate for a word for this new season. I prayed through the month of January, even fasted and prayed, nothing. I prayed through February, nothing. March, April, Lent, and Easter season, surely the most holiest time of the year. God must speak, nothing. Finally, on a Friday night in May, my word from heaven came. The Lord directed me to the miracle of the coin in the fish's mouth. That's a miracle of Jesus I had never before really studied nor preached from. I read the words of Jesus to Peter, "Go to the sea and cast in a hook. Take the first fish that you catch and open its mouth and you'll find a silver coin." I realized as I read that Jesus was a carpenter and Peter was a fisherman. And this is the only place in the entire New Testament that anyone is ever said to fish with a hook rather than a net. And as I reflected on that, the Holy Spirit spoke to me as clearly as I have ever heard his voice. And this is what he said to me. He said, "Glenn, keep on doing what you already know how to do, but I'm going to show you a new way to do it, and I'm going to add my supernatural blessing to it." Beloved, listen to me. I know that there is someone in this house this morning that came here desperate to hear a word from the Lord. And listen, this word is not my word alone. It is our word. And here's your word from heaven. Keep doing what you already know how to do. But God is going to show you a new way to do it. And he's going to add his supernatural blessing to it. I'm calling this Vision Sunday. I want to share with you a new vision that the Lord has given us for this coming season. We're calling it the 2020 vision. 2020 means perfect clarity of sight. The year 2020 is almost upon us. And at the center of this vision is a scripture in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 20. We've taught you publicly and from house to house. And this is my prayer. It's my prayer that you would receive the vision this morning and that you would run with it. I pray that once again, as you have done time after time over the past years, I pray once again that you would say yes to trying new things with us. That you would say yes to being used by the Lord in some new ways. Write down the vision. Write down the revelation, the word from heaven, and make it crystal clear so that people can receive it and run with it. That's my job this morning. It's to try to make this vision crystal clear to you. So very quickly, I want to talk with you about three things. First of all, I want to talk with you about the promise. Write down the vision and make it crystal clear. Let's talk about the promise that is wrapped up in the Lord's word to us. Now, whenever you receive a word from heaven, you should pray into that word. I like what our friend Jan Nell teaches. He says, when you receive a word from the Lord, everything you need is contained within that word. It's like a complete self-contained capsule. It is all there inside, but you need to unpack it with the help of the Holy Spirit. A lot of times when the Lord speaks to me, he just gives me one single word or sometimes a short phrase. And in prayer and in study of the word and in meditation, I have to unpack the meaning of what the Lord is saying to me. And that's exactly what I did when the Lord said to me, keep doing what you're doing, but I'm going to show you a new way to do it and I'm going to add my blessing. I had to unpack it in prayer. And I realize that it's a word of promise to us. The word I received in 1999 was a word of promise that we would be successful acquiring this land and building these buildings, and we did. The word in 2005 was a word of promise that we would be fruitful in making disciples, and we were. What has God promised us for this coming season? A couple things. You can follow along. I gave you an outline on your way in, and if you like, you can fill in the blanks and watch the screens and stay with us. What has God promised us for this coming season? First of all, he's promised us divine guidance. He's promised us divine guidance. Keep doing what you know how to do, but I'm going to show you a new way to do it. I want you to think about this. Jesus, the carpenter, told Peter the fisherman a new way to fish. And in fact, Jesus' instructions were counterintuitive. Conditions being what they were in the Sea of Galilee, it was a lot more productive to catch with nets. But Jesus said, go use a hook. You see, a hook was God's strategy for that particular moment. How many of you have discovered that God's strategies are often counterintuitive? Most of the time, God's strategies make no sense to the natural mind. In 2005, when I wasn't sure whether financially we were going to make it under the weight of the first building, we were in trouble and we fasted and prayed and cried out to the Lord, and the Lord's answer was to open the doors to our Spanish congregation. The Lord said to me, open your doors to them and pay all their expenses. When we were going under, the Lord said, take on a new ministry and you bear their financial burden. That was a strategy that didn't make sense. Do you know that from the moment we opened our doors to the Spanish, we never received anything from them. From the moment we opened our doors, we were not in the red again. Come on now. Beloved, listen to me. Earthly strategies yield earthly results, but heaven's strategies yield heaven's results. What has God made a promise to us? He's made a promise of divine guidance for this coming season, and some of his directions might seem a little counterintuitive at first. How are we going to fill this 1,000-seat auditorium a few times over every weekend? Well, the way we're going to fill 1,000 seats is by meeting in small groups. How are we going to fill all those classrooms downstairs, those beautiful new classrooms, and the newly renovated old wing? Well, we're going to fill it by meeting in the building less and meeting outside the building more. What has God promised us in this new season? Divine guidance. He's promised us Holy Spirit creativity. Beloved, can I tell you that sometimes, you know, we thank God for Christian media, but sometimes you even got to shut off the Christian media and just go to the Word. Every day I go online and I subscribe to a lot of different sites for pastors and information for pastors, and every day there's 100 depressing articles about how the church in America is failing and losing influence and failing to be effective in our culture. I'm telling you what, like if I read those every day, I'd quit the ministry by Friday. So I have to go to the Word. Because the Word says one generation will tell the next the wonderful things of the Lord. Does the church need to change to be effective? Yes, it needs to change. Will it change? Will it remain effective? Yes, it will. How do I know? Because God's Word promises it and history bears it out. You see, I've read all the way to the end of the book, and there remaining at the very end of the book is Jesus and his church. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but the church of Jesus Christ remains. Every ism will one day become a wasm, but the church of Jesus Christ remains. Beloved, in the history of the entire world, there has never, ever been another entity like the church. In every generation, listen to me, because the enemy would love the church to panic. I'm talking about the church with a capital C. He'd love to throw us all into a panic and make us lose heart. But in every generation, the church has had the ability to recreate itself, to reposition itself for effectiveness. How? Because we have the Holy Spirit. And so God's promise to us is, I'm going to help you to remake yourself and reposition yourself to be effective in this generation. What has God promised us? A third thing, he's promised us supernatural provision. When Peter went to the Sea of Galilee to cast his lone, Peter Peter was a fisherman who fished with nets. And Jesus said, take one hook and go put it in the sea. And when he put that hook in the sea, a fish jumped on the line and he pulled in the fish and he reached in its mouth and there was a silver coin. Now, a few things to know about that coin. First of all, it was a particular type of coin that could be used in the temple. Roman coins couldn't be used in the temple because they had a picture of Caesar and an inscription hailing him as a god. That's why there were money changers, because you had to change your dirty Roman money into another kind of money that was acceptable in the temple. And so the coin in the fish's mouth just happened to be a silver Greek coin that could be used in the temple, and it happened to be the precise amount to pay the temple tax for two men, Jesus and Peter. You know, when Jesus told Peter to go fishing with a hook, his boat and his nets were right there where he had left them when he followed Jesus. The coin is worth 2 days' wages. And so he probably thought to himself, well, just let me get to my nets, Jesus. Give me 2 days and I'll bring in what we need to pay the tax. But God had another plan. God supernaturally provided 2 days' wages in just one day. In fact, in just one moment. Beloved, I want to tell you that there is a promise of supernatural provision resting over this church and resting over your life. We have never, ever had the money to do any of the things that we've ever done. I got to tell you what, my friends that I went to Bible school and seminary with, they know that I pastor a church in a very wealthy town. And they think, Glenn, you're lucky. You have all those rich people. Well, let me tell you something, what we know, pastoring in a wealthy town just means everything costs us more, much more than it does. We have never, ever had the money to do anything that we have ever done, but God has supernaturally provided for us every time, and I don't suppose that after bringing us this far, He intends to quit now. What has God promised us? Divine guidance, Holy Spirit creativity, supernatural provision, and He's promised us success in our mission. Beloved, when God gives instructions, He also gives us everything that we need to succeed. God told Joshua, take the people into the promised land, be bold and courageous, have I not commanded you? In other words, Joshua, if I told you to do it, will I not also give you everything you need to complete the mission? God told Gideon, go defeat the Midianites. And then God said, have I not commanded you? In other words, Gideon, if I called you to it, then I'm gonna bring you through it. Beloved, God doesn't ever send His people on fool's errands. God sends us to accomplish His divine purposes, and He's not going to quit on us until we accomplish what He set us to do. Jesus told the disciples, you didn't pick me, I picked you, and I ordained you to go and bear fruit, and more fruit, and much fruit, and fruit that remains. How do I know that this word of vision is going to succeed? Because God hasn't called us to fail, and He hasn't called us to mediocre results either. Everybody look at me for just one moment. Every human heart has a little hand attached to it called faith. And I want you to reach out with that hand on your heart, and I want you to grab hold of this word, and I want you to pull it into your heart. And I want you to embrace it. If one word from heaven could lead to the construction of all of this, if one word from heaven could add over 1,000 disciples in 10 years at our church, what will this fresh word from heaven bring in this coming season? And what will this word bring to you? Do what you already know how to do, but I'm going to show you a new way to do it. And I'm going to bless it. You're a husband. Do what you already know how to do. But God's going to show you some new ways to be a better husband. If you're a wife, do what you already know how to do, but God's going to show you some better ways to be a wife, and He's going to bless it. If you're a parent, in your workplace, in your career, in whatever it is that you're doing, do what you already know how to do, but God's going to show you, if you will grab hold of that word with the hand of your heart, what will happen? Write down the vision and make it plain, make it crystal clear so that people can receive it and run with it. God has made us a promise. Second, I want to talk very quickly about the process. I unpacked this word from the Lord in prayer, and then I brought it to our pastors. And our pastors sat for days and days, and we unpacked the word together. And then I brought this word to our board of deacons and trustees, and we unpacked it further together. This month, we've been meeting with our ministry leaders, and we're meeting again this afternoon, unpacking this word together. As the Lord would have it, at the very same time that I received this word, someone very special came into our path. A woman named Debbie Rome, who is a discipleship pastor at a growing, vibrant church in St. Louis. She is a professor of church growth at Liberty University, and she coaches churches. And at just the right time, at the same time that I received this word, it was just a divine setup. We met Debbie, and she's been working with us over the summer. She's going to be here on Saturday, September 7th, and she's going to be coaching us in launching small groups, growth groups. And if you're interested in leading a growth group, or you have an idea for a group, but you're not sure you could lead it, we're just opening it up and inviting you to meet Debbie on September 7th. Our pastors and our board have done a lot of praying and a lot of conversing, and the Lord has helped us come up with a new shape for harvest time. I want to tell you, I've had more fun this summer going through this process than I have ever had at HTC, truly, even in spite of being a little sick. In January 1999, when I got that word from the Lord, it was just me and Denise unpacking it. In 2005, when I got a word from the Lord, it was me and Denise and Pastor Faith and Pastor Nick unpacking it. Now, this time, we've just incorporated the whole team, and it's been so much fun. Every week our prayer has been, Lord, let us come away from the table saying it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. And I want to tell you, we can say with confidence that the new shape the Lord has given us for our church seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Would you like to know what it is? All right, let's get to it. We've shared about the promise, we've shared about the process. Now, very quickly, I want to introduce to you the plan. As we prayed into this word from heaven, the Lord helped us to define our mission as a church into three simple steps. God gave us three words that everyone can remember. Why does Harvest Time Church exist? What are we here for? And so listen, by the time you leave here today, I want these three words to be drilled into your mind. I want them to be etched on your heart. We're going to say them again and again till they come out of your ears. Are you ready for the 2020 vision? Yeah. Here it is. Harvest Time Church is here to help people believe, belong, and to be light. Come on, I want you to say that with me. Harvest Time Church is here to help people believe, belong, and be light. All right, don't say belight, all right? Everybody in the office has been saying belight. I'm like, no, it's not belight, it's be light, all right? Give me a little pause there, okay? Why are we here? Harvest Time Church is here to help people believe, belong, and be light. All right, say it again. Believe, belong, and be light. What's our mission? Our mission is to help people believe. Our mission is to help unbelievers come to the saving, life-transforming knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Beloved, I want to tell you, we're going to change some things around here in order to make this place as welcoming as we possibly can for people who don't know Jesus. We're going to do everything we can to open our arms, to open our hearts, to tune everything so that when people who don't know him come in the doors of this place, they experience his presence, they're touched by him, the seed of faith is planted in their heart, and they open their heart and they respond. Our name is Harvest Time. God promised Pastor Tate in 1983, there is a harvest in Greenwich, Connecticut, and we have built the barn. Now this is the season that we're going to go get the harvest. We're going to help people believe. We're going to help them find faith in Christ, and we're going to help believers grow in their faith in Christ. That word from 2005 is still good. Make every effort to add to your faith. Our first purpose is for people to believe and to grow in faith. What's our mission? It's to help people belong. Can I be honest with you? There was a downside to the rapid growth that we experienced in phase one. Because we only held a little over 300 people at a time, we went from two services to three to four services. And how many of you remember those days? It was like a people mill. It was like a revolving door. Before we expanded the parking lots, there was a line of cars out the driveway and down King Street. And one service, I would be finishing one service, and all the faces for the next service would be staring through the glass doors at me every week. You know, it was, I kind of missed that. It was kind of fun. Their eyes, you know, looking in at me. But there was no time to even have a chat with someone. As soon as one service dismissed, they had to get out, and the next service came tromping in. There was no time for building relationships, and even if you wanted to have a chat with someone, there was no place to physically stand and do it. Do you remember those days? All those parents who had kids in the classrooms downstairs, the downstairs hallway was impassable. People used to exit the building and walk around the outside and go back in the door the other way because you couldn't get down the hall. And the downside of that is that it didn't give us an opportunity to build community. Growth came at the expense of community a little bit. As we've been talking with people throughout this year, we've been hearing again and again and again that people want to feel more connected to one another, that they want to make friends. And so this fall, we are reformatting all of our ministries around a small group model. That's where we really grow in belonging to the Lord and belonging to one another. Beloved, can I tell you that where transformation takes place is in relationship. For those of you that have been walking with the Lord for a while, think about how you really grew. There was someone or a small group of someones in your life that discipled you, that answered your questions, that were patient with you, that prayed with you time and time again. Growth and transformation and healing, it happens within the context of relationship. And so we are reshaping our church ministries into small groups, into life groups, growth groups. Our Pathways ministry is going to be taking on. It's going to be changing shape and being delivered in small groups. Men's ministries, ladies' ministries are taking on a new shape in small group. Even children and youth ministries, we're incorporating small group time into our children's church. Pastor Denise and Pastor Kimmy and the team have been working all summer, and in children's church, they have a corporate time and then they break up into group time. And it has been so powerful, and it's been the kids have been loving it. Wednesday nights are going to take on a new shape. Small groups, I want to tell you, were the model of the early church. When Paul sums up his ministry in Acts 20:20, he sums up his ministry this way. He says, "We have taught you publicly and from house to house." And so that's why we're calling this the 2020 vision. It's the year 2020. Acts 2020 is the pattern for ministry and growth in the church. And we're going to ask you this fall to get involved with growth groups. What's our mission? It's to help people be light. Our mission is to serve one another in the church and to serve outside of the church. When God gives you a word from heaven, you have to pray into it, unpack it, and then you have to act upon it. And so this fall, I'm closing with this. This fall, we're asking every member at Harvest Time Church to do three things. If you're part of our church family, if God's called you here, if this is your church, if you're a member or part of this family, we're asking you to do these three things. First of all, we're asking you to attend Sunday morning worship services. Next Sunday on Labor Day, our friend Barry Knight is going to be here. We're going to have a family service. The kids are going to be in the sanctuary with us for Labor Day weekend. And then for the following Sundays in September, we're going to be unpacking with you what it means to believe and to belong and to not be light, but be light, all right? And so we need you here. Can I say a word about live stream? I bless everybody who's watching on live stream, and live stream is a wonderful tool. If we have many people who just physically can't get here on Sunday morning, and they're still part of our family via live stream. When people travel, when I'm on the road, I watch our Sunday services on live stream. Live stream is a wonderful tool, but live stream is not a substitute for being in the house of God. Thank you for that golf clap. 10 of you are convinced about that. Listen, we want you to be here on Sunday morning. It's about being in the presence. You know, the Bible says that God is enthroned upon the praises of his people. That means when we come together for corporate worship, there is an authority here that is not present in other contexts, and anything good can happen. We want you to be here on Sunday mornings, and we're going to offer growth groups on Sunday mornings as well as Wednesday evenings and fellowship downstairs. We're working. One of our board members said that our last board meeting, we got to do something about the coffee and the pastries downstairs. So we have coffee and pastries for you after service today. Go downstairs, enjoy a little bit of fellowship. We're asking everybody who attends Sunday worship. Second thing, we're asking you to connect with a growth group. Now, I want to tell you, everybody look at me and stay with me for one second. I'm almost done. 2 minutes and I'm done. Everybody look at me. During the month of September, we're asking you to be our guinea pigs. Now, I know that doesn't sound very nice, but I thought it sounded better than test dummies, all right? We're asking you to be our guinea pigs. We're launching something new called Discovery Track. So what is Discovery Track? It's for people who are new to Harvest Time. It introduces people to being a believer, and it introduces people to our church. It's kind of like, you could call it like a new members, a new believers class on steroids. It's 4 weeks. So most of you here are firmly attached to Harvest Time and you've been around, but we want you to take Discovery Track in the month of September. We're going to offer it on Wednesday nights or Sunday mornings. You come Wednesdays, or you can come Sunday morning during first service. So if you're in first service, come Wednesday night, or move around however you need to. And here's what we need you to help us with. We need your input, we need your feedback, we need your questions so we can get Discovery Track exactly where it needs to be. One of the most important parts about Discovery Track is that there's some tools that help people find their place in the body. How many of you have ever taken a spiritual gift assessment? Let me see your hand high. How many of you have ever taken it? Wow. Okay, I would say not more than 20%. So Discovery Track has a spiritual gift assessment, and then we help you try and find your place in the body. Where do you fit in the body? And so during September, we want you to take it. Now, in your bulletin, I want you to take this out. Everybody find this little piece of paper, if you would. I'm almost done. 2 minutes, you know, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. So 2 minutes in church is longer than 2 minutes, okay? Everybody look at this. Everybody look at this. Harvest Time Church Discovery Track. I want you to sign up for Discovery Track this morning. I want you to fill this out, and I want you to leave it at the welcome desks on either side of the main front doors. Your name, your email, your phone number. There's one thing that we didn't do, and I need you to just write it in. Indicate whether you want to come on Sunday morning during first service or Wednesday night, if you would, for us. That'll help us out a great deal. But would you sign up right now for Discovery Track? And we're starting it on Wednesday, September 11th, Sunday, September 15th. If you're doing Wednesdays, it's the 11th of September. Sundays, it's the 15th of September. And we want you to sign up right now for Growth Track, Discovery Track. And we want you to leave this out to the front door. All right, the third thing that we're asking from every Harvest Time member this fall, attend Sunday worship, connect with a growth group. After Discovery Track is over, in September, we will launch growth groups, and we want you to be a part of those. The third thing we're asking is join a ministry team. And as we make our way through Discovery Track, we're going to give you, if you're not already involved with a ministry here at Harvest Time, we're going to give you an opportunity for you to get involved. Write down the vision and make it crystal clear so that people will receive it and run with it. Harvest Time Church, what are we here for? We're here to help people believe, belong, and be light. Would you receive this vision and would you help us run with it? Would you stand on your feet and give the Lord a good praise? Katie, Scott, Jossie, would you come? Would you welcome them back as they come? And we're going to worship the Lord one more time. Go ahead, give the Lord a good praise this morning, if you would. Would you lift up your voice, and we're just going to sing that chorus. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.
What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. And death could not hold you, the veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave, and now the heavens are
say that name, Jesus. Would you lift up your faces? Lift up your faces, lift up your hands to the Lord. Come on, say that name, Jesus. 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 Over every home and every marriage, we speak the name. Come on, say it with me, Jesus. Over every son and every daughter, over every grandson and every granddaughter, we speak the name, Jesus. Over every career, we speak the name. Over every body, we speak the name Jesus. Over every situation, we speak the name Jesus. Lift up your hands. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much for your beautiful people. And Lord, thank you that you speak from heaven. Lord, we thank you that the God we worship has eyes who see and ears that hear and a mouth that speaks and a hand that intervenes. Thank you for your word to us. Thank you for words of promise. Thank you for words of guidance and words of provision, Lord, and words guaranteeing, Lord, fruitfulness. Father, we reach out with the hand of our heart and we pull these words into our hearts and we embrace them, we receive them. Come on, listen, for your own personal life, I want you to reach out with your hand of faith and pull those words into your heart. Keep doing what you know how to do, but I'm going to show you a new way to do it, and I'm going to add my blessing to it. Come on, would you just embrace it, receive it. Holy Spirit, creativity is coming upon you. Ideas are coming upon you. New ideas, things you haven't thought of before. New contacts are coming into your path. Divine appointments are coming your way. Open doors. Come on, do you believe that are coming for you? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, we receive your word. And this week, we're going to run with it. In the name of Jesus. Come on, everybody, give the Lord one more good praise in this place today.